It's good to be with you on such a lovely day, and interested to hear what's been going on. As an ex-teacher, that week was a doddle. Just sit around waiting for things to happen, and it just happens without any preparation at all, anything, you know, just even getting cardboard boxes together. I commend you to this fellowship for doing it. Absolutely brilliant. And the Lord bless you and continue in that work. And TNT, it must be pretty explosive. And yes. I came, it's interesting, you know, when you come to preach, come on, Lord, show me the one you want me to. I have two or three messages perhaps to deliver, and the one I brought today is just right, because what has gone on, so much so, I know there are children here on a Sunday morning, and I prepared to speak to them. But I can only blame you two for them not being here this morning, because they're so tired from last week, they couldn't get out of bed this morning. But I was going to speak to them, and I was going to say to them how special they are in the eyes of Jesus. And I even prepared by cutting out little things, and I'm sure you can use them, get them to stick on the, and the idea was for them to write underneath or on the back why they're special, simply because Jesus loves them. So there we are. I'm going to speak on Mark chapter 10. I don't know how about you feel, but you know, Wimbledon's gone. The athletics have gone. Well, after tonight. Wasn't it exciting yesterday? Mm-hmm. Poor old Bolt. And old Mo. Bless them. But the football season started. And I was at West Bromwich yesterday. And we won. Yeah, it's great fun. I do it with grandchildren, so it's good to have an excuse to go and see them play. But yeah, but it's lovely outside of that noise and boisterousness that goes on outside these four walls. We can come and just settle down and be in His presence and hear what He has to say to us. And I'm going to read three verses from Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16, four verses perhaps. And this is what it says. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said to them, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." And he took them up into his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. I'm going to have to hold my notes a little bit because I've had a cold. I won't go into that, but this is why I'm holding my notes this morning. In this passage, Jesus had finished teaching about a very serious matter of marriage and divorce. And as soon as discussion was over, Jesus turns his attention to some little children that are brought to them by their parents. It was a Jewish tradition to bring small children to a great leader, a rabbi, so that he could bless them, so that he could pray for them. They were also taken into the synagogue, where the elders would take the children in their arms and pray for them for the life of the child. This is not dissimilar to the dedication that goes on in churches today. These parents are severely rebuked by the Lord's disciples. Apparently, they felt that the Master's time was too valuable to be wasted on children. And Jesus told the disciples in no uncertain terms that the little children were what the kingdom of heaven was all about. It's interesting to note, too, that Jesus gives this teaching about children after he spoke about marriage relationship. In Matthew 9:6, we read this, "So they are no longer two, but one." And that's literally fulfilled when a married couple produce a child. And how lovely it is to have little ones connected to the church. They're being blessed to be enjoyed. And with this in mind, I want to reflect this morning that there are some lessons that we can learn from these verses. There are three lessons. A lesson about service, a lesson about salvation, and a lesson about the Saviour. Please be sure that before we start, we have to understand that Jesus has a special place in his heart and in his plans for children. A lesson about service. This passage here this morning clearly reveals responsibilities that parent and church have towards children. Working out these responsibilities in a form of service to our children that can be seen in three ways. The service to our children by evangelizing them. In this passage, Jesus isn't seen saving the children. He's just merely praying for them and blessing them. The picture here illustrates that these parents cared enough about the spiritual condition of their children to bring them to Jesus. And parents should do everything in their power to ensure that their children come under the sound of the gospel by taking them to church, availing themselves with Sunday school, praying for them, being open about your own faith and showing them that they're a consistent believer and showing that nothing in this world is more important than the love of the Lord. Whilst the Sunday school takes place every Sunday, weekday meetings, the evangelization of God's word depends on the parents. We also serve our children by educating them. By bringing the children to Jesus, they were telling them that they saw something special in him. Like those parents of old, believers in our day have the responsibility of modelling our faith in Jesus so that the younger generation can see that he is worth knowing. If my faith doesn't change my life and cause me to be a better person, children will pick that up. We are responsible for educating our children about the things of God. Ephesians 6:4 says this, "We are encouraged to bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." It isn't the job of the school teacher to do that. It's not their job to educate them to a knowledge of the Lord. It's ours. And then we can also serve our children by encouraging them. When the parents brought the children to Jesus, they were encouraging them to go to him. We've already heard in Ephesians 6, we're told to bring up children with instruction which equals encouragement. We ought to encourage our children to seek the things of God. Teach them to pray. Read God's word. Bring them to church. involve them in church activities and expose them to every opportunity that has a godly nature. And how wonderful that's been going on here just this last week. Children who are brought to Christ and giving their lives to Christ, it's a wow experience. D.L. Moody once returned from a meeting and reported that he had had 2.5 conversions. 2 adults and 1 child, asked the host. No, said Moody. 2 children and 1 adult. The children gave their whole lives. The adult only had half a life to give. So there we are. Let's look at another lesson, the lesson of salvation. While this passage here shows every adult's responsibility to serve children by helping them to form a spiritual foundation, it also speaks the matter of salvation. What it implies. The fact that the children are invited to come to the Saviour implies that they need a Saviour. Now, some people don't like to hear this, but children are sinners too. We only need to read Psalm 52, Proverbs 22, Ephesians 2. There are just a few verses in the Scriptures that back this thought up. Children are innocent. Yes, they are. But they still need salvation. And that's why Christians must do all we can to bring children face to face with the Saviour. It's not our duty to save them. It's our duty to expose God's word to them. And 2 Timothy 3:15 says this, "And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." So the lesson of salvation, what it implies, what does it involve? Whenever a discussion about childhood comes up, someone always seems to make the age of responsibility, the age of accountability. I think in my day it was about 12. When a child reached 12, it was time for them to be saved, join the church, be baptized. I was converted at 10, baptized when 15. Did I break the rules? This accountability is not mentioned in the Bible. A child becomes accountable when they know the difference between right and wrong, and where they're able to choose the difference between right and wrong. I think the age of decision is a better term than accountability. And when a person reaches an understanding of sin and is able to make a decision for Christ, that is the age of decision. And just because our children are young, don't assume they don't need salvation. Children grow up quickly. And I'm prepared to say they grow up quicker than these days than they did when I was a child. Children grow up quickly and they need to know about Jesus. Let's tell them from the day they're born and watch God move in their lives at an early age. When children approach you and start talking about salvation, don't put them off. But encourage them by asking questions about being saved. The meaning. The need. But don't make it as if you're part of the Spanish Inquisition. when they're ready to receive Christ, just point them in the right direction and they will come to him in faith. Don't put words in their mouth. If they understand what they're doing, God's Spirit is shadowing them. They will know what they need to do. The method which Jesus shows here is to illustrate the way believers must come to him. In this passage, Jesus tells all who come to him must come as a little child. Children are trusting. They're humble. They're dependent. Children don't doubt that their family members love them. They simply accept the profound by faith. They don't look beyond the obvious. They just believe. And those are the requirements for a person to come to Christ. For a person, young or old, to find salvation, they must first be willing to humble themselves before God. They must be willing to lay down pride over the life that they've lived. They must humble themselves by acknowledging their sin before God. They must be willing to admit that their works and religious activity can never save them. They must come to a place where they, like a child, simply look to Jesus in simple faith, trusting that he will do everything that he's promised to do. If we contrast this image with the preceding passage, when the rich young ruler came to Jesus, he refused to turn loose his pride, his money, his self-righteousness. He left with all his possessions, but he left without Jesus. A person must look to Jesus by faith, trusting him and his finished work on the cross completely for salvation. And this requires childlike qualities. It requires trust. It requires humility. It requires dependence. But let's look at the last lesson now. The lesson about the Saviour. This passage not only talks about service and salvation, but it also has something to say about the Saviour. Watching how Jesus ministers to these children. We just get a glimpse of his personality. And two things appear here regarding the Saviour. His heart and his hands. The disciples thought Jesus was too busy for a bunch of kids. When the Bible says bringing their children to Jesus, it pictures a long queue. Parents from all over the area brought their children to him so that they could be prayed over and blessed. And when the disciples rebuked the parents, Jesus was indignant. This means that he was angry with the disciples for preventing the children coming to him. Children hold a special place in the Lord's heart. In fact, in the previous chapter, Mark reminds us that harsh judgments await for those who abuse children. Jesus always defends the defenseless. In society at this time, children were often treated with contempt and used as property. records show that the husband of a wife who was pregnant commanded, if it's a boy, let him live. If it's a female, cast him out. In Rome, fathers had absolute power over their children. A father could condemn his child to die simply by a command. But thankfully, in 375 AD, that was outlawed. Jesus loved the children. And I sometimes have to ask ourselves, if there's a need in our life, whatever it is, you can come to him just like those children over 2,000 years ago. And you know, whatever need you have, Jesus will take care of it, provided you allow him to. Amen. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you again for this brief passage in the scriptures which tells us of your love for children. We just thank you for what's gone on here in the past week. For those 10 children who we see on the wall here. Lord, we just ask that you'll draw them close to yourself. May they see you and your love and be drawn to it also. And just pray that the work here with the children will go on from strength to strength, week by week. Because we have to be encouraged to know that you love them. Hear our prayer, Lord, we pray, in the Saviour's name. Amen. Shall we close our morning worship by singing our closing hymn? Jesus, take me as I am. I can come no other way. Take me deeper into you. Make my flesh life melt away. Make me like a precious stone, crystal clear and finely heard. Life of Jesus shining through, giving glory back to you.